Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour satellite soiree. DA with you. From the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Johnsonville to Jacksonville, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, guess what? Rocket can. Good morning, everybody. Happy that you're with us. It's a Target Demo Friday. Walking hand in hand through the week, we've made it to the Meadows. We are here on the doorstep of the weekend, and we got for you a great show to kick off this type of good vibes with. We've got Tyler Dunn, who's going to join us here on the show. Now, he is the founder of Go Long, an NFL-based newsletter and Substack site, and he also formerly covered the Packers for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He has written a lot of really good, insightful Packer stories over the years, and I'm guessing he's got some good insight and some good sources on this Aaron Rodgers situation. So the latest from Ty Dunn, who has covered the Packers for many, many years, he's going to join us 1 hour from now. Also, this hour on the show, do we have more evidence for DA to flog that horse that is down to the ground and looks just about dead on drafting running backs too high? Oh, yes, we do. That comes your way 40 minutes from now. Yesterday, if you followed any one of us on social media, you saw a very flagrant offense needing to be dissected in a meat on the bone segment this morning. So we'll do that next hour as well. Could the Bears be moving away from venerable, ancient, even though now it kind of looks like a spaceship, Soldier Field and Albert Pujols, one of the greatest hitters of his generation and perhaps ever when you stack up the numbers, DFA'd. Bum, bum, bum. All of that coming up this morning on the show, so we are loaded. And on a Friday, it is up to the madcap genius of the Wizard of Watch DA to create, whip up, develop a Target Demo Friday meme, something that encapsulates the absurdity of the week here aboard the mothership. We wait with bated breath each and every Friday morning to see what Cap conjures up out of his Dr. Doom mind and puts out to the masses so that you can then respond with your Target Demo Friday info. It's all coming up this morning on the show. Oh, and one more thing. I think we established this yesterday on the show. We will ask you as our poll question of the day. We'll get this out of the way real early. Do you think Mother's Day sucks? Or do you feel like the best part of Mother's Day is the Monday morning after it's over? Something to that effect, because that's what Mraz claimed yesterday. Remember that Sunday is Mother's Day, and it is not a day to resent the attention and the love that you will bestow upon your mother. In fact, it is a day that you should embrace. But we begin with NFL kickoff night. This is kind of fun. We know that the Buccaneers are going to open up the 2021 NFL season as defending Super Bowl champions. And we are 6 days away from the NFL schedule being released. Yes, the NFL has done a wonderful job making sure that they bore a hole into our brains in every month of the year. July, NFL Hall of Fame game. August, preseason. September, October, November. December, regular season. January, playoffs. February, Super Bowl and Combine. Now we're into the draft days, March free agency, April the draft, and May the schedule. So coming up on Wednesday, the NFL is going to release the schedule, and we will find out who the Buccaneers kick off with. We know the team that they'll play at home. We just don't know when they'll play them. Here is the list of the teams that the Buccaneers will play at Raymond James this weekend. We know the divisional games, the Saints, the Panthers, the Falcons. We also know they'll play the NFC East this year, so they'll get the Cowboys and the Giants at home as well. They'll also play the AFC East this year. They'll get the Bills and the Dolphins, and their crossover game will be the Chicago Bears. So Bears, Bills, Cowboys, Dolphins, Falcons, Giants, Panthers, Saints. Out of those, who do you want to see? Who do you think the NFL will put in there for opening night kickoff of the NFL season? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
There's more to come, right, Tom? There's more to come as far as football.
Yeah, we're coming back.
We're coming back.
You already know that.
Coming back. Tom Brady's coming back.
Probably wouldn't change anything in the offseason. We limit the number of snaps we get once we get into preseason games. But I think depending on your open date, now if you have an early open date on a 17-game schedule, that's going to be a grind in December.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Vance and Tom Brady via CBS, Bruce Arians, the defending Super Bowl champions. Let's pick through this, okay? If we look at their division foes, you toss out the Panthers or the Falcons, because right now there's not a lot of juice to a couple of teams that missed the playoffs last year. The Saints, there could be juice. Last year, those two games, Saints and Buccaneers, were both big window or nationally televised games. So that could work, but also without Drew Brees there this year, whether it's Jameis Winston, whether there's another decision to be made for Sean Payton under center, what we think is that the Saints could be good but not great, and without Brees, there's probably not enough juice there for the opening night kickoff. Which brings us to Bears, Bills, Cowboys, Dolphins. If you knew the Bears would start Justin Fields, you would go there. That'd be a really interesting matchup. Brand new quarterback in Chicago. You get the big Bears national audience, fan base across the entire country. That's a big one. That's a good one. Brady versus Justin Fields. But because you don't and you think it's going to be Andy Dalton to start things off, you can't go Bears there. That leaves us the Bills, the Cowboys, and the Dolphins, Giants. You can't put the Giants in there either, because even though that brings a New York audience, again, the Giants don't have enough interest going into the season after a non-playoff season, sub-500 season, to put them as the opening night kickoff game. I'm sure you will see them on the opening weekend or week two Sunday night or Monday night game, but you're not going to see them open up the season against the Buccaneers. Which brings us to Bills, Cowboys, and Dolphins. I think the Dolphins are a fascinating potential matchup here for a couple of reasons. Number one, when Brady was in New England, Tom Brady's greatest divisional nemesis were the Dolphins when they went on the road to Miami. Now, this would not be on the road in Miami, and maybe that changes things a little bit. And because the Dolphins didn't make the postseason last year, they don't quite have the true juice that maybe you would need for this game. But I think the Dolphins could be this year's Cleveland Browns, a team that's been on the rebuild for a while now and finally will break through to make the postseason and be one of the most exciting teams in football, to see where a young, hungry Miami franchise goes. If they have a young wide receiver in Jalen Waddle, and if they pulled off a trade for, say, Julio Jones in the offseason, that would be an amazing way to kick things off. Bucks, Dolphins, Brady versus the Fins, and a former Patriots assistant coach, Brian Flores. But the thing is, there's not a lot of other sellable, marketable quantities and commodities on the Dolphins right now. If you don't know Julio's going to be there, besides Tua. And Tua right now, unfortunately, is not box office yet, which leaves us the Bills and the Cowboys, which most people are clamoring for. You can't go wrong with either one of these two teams. You can't go wrong. I think for the Dallas Cowboys, the hook is obvious. It's the NFC. If the Cowboys win the division, it could be a playoff game. If the Cowboys actually do what they're supposed to do and actually make the playoffs, it could certainly be a postseason matchup. Dak Prescott is back and healthy, and the Cowboys are always a draw because they're America's team, whether they win or lose. Jerry Jones, Mike McCarthy, Dak Prescott, those wide receivers, Ezekiel Elliott. How can you go wrong with Brady versus the Cowboys? Except the Cowboys always leave us flat. They always give us dog games in big spots. And frankly, kind of like the Bears last year, where every time on national TV you were like, ah, come on again. I think we're going to get a healthy dose of the Cowboys this year in prime time because Dak is back healthy. And again, they've got star power. So I'm going to pass on that opening night. I'm going to give you the Bills are the best. They're the best fit here because the Bills were in the AFC Championship game last season. And if the Bills take that next step, could it be Bills and Bucks in the Super Bowl? How could you figure that it's not appetizing on opening night to kick things off? Obviously, Josh Allen took a huge step forward last year. A Bills team that's got really good players and has a star in the wide receiver standpoint with Stephon Diggs, and clearly has a fan base that is raucous, that is loud, and will travel to Tampa if you allow them, if there's open season on seating. I think the Bills are the draw, are the play there on opening night. Bucks, Bills to kick off the NFL season, two of the league's best and two of the final four last year. Oh yeah, sign me up. Who do you want to see the Buccaneers open up with? Again, their home schedule, Bears, Bills, Cowboys, Dolphins, Falcons, Giants, Panthers, Saints. 855-212-4CBS is that phone number. 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, you got a preference here. You open things up, you turn on that TV, you sit down with your Cheetos at opening night. Who do you want to see Tampa Bay play?
I think it's a preference combined with me getting in the weeds here with process of elimination, DA. I'm going to go Saints because I am not so sure the Saints are going to be all that interesting come November and December when a network might look to put them in prime time versus the Tampa Bay Bucks. When the Saints are interesting to start the year without Drew Brees, maybe they are really good and they are interesting down the line, but you guarantee they're still interesting early. They are a team that beat the Bucks twice last year. You think about it, the Bucks are going to play at least five scheduled primetime games because the max is six. You want to leave some flexibility for later in the year. They're on the road in Washington and the Rams. I could easily see those being Sunday night games. Fox and CBS are each going to get a crown jewel late window game. One is going to get the Cowboys. The other is going to get that game versus the Patriots in New England, obviously. I think Buffalo's another potential Sunday night game. And then you pick your random Falcon-Buck game or so for Monday night. And I think that leaves us, you know, you brought up the Dolphins are interesting. I think they'll go Saints because I think they could guarantee the Saints are interesting week one. They can't guarantee the Saints are interesting anything beyond that.
Will they go Saints in your mind over the Cowboys because they want to give Fox the Bucks-Cowboys game?
I believe that. I believe that the Cowboys are eliminated from this because I think that is a Fox game written all over it, and I think that they will give, unless Fox gets the Patriot rights, in which case they can do a cross-flex and CBS gets the Cowboy game, I believe you will see the Patriot game on the road and the Cowboy game at home as the two premier, pristine games for those networks of Fox or CBS to take of the Bucks this year.
So CBS, the AFC rights holder, would hypothetically get Bucks Patriots in New England, and then the NFC rights holder, the Fox crew, would get Buccaneers and Cowboys. And you still think that that's better than the Bills going Saints early in the year to kick things off?
I do, just because I think that when you have to look at this big picture, the way these guys do the schedule, they want the Bucks in a sweet spot in a primetime game several weeks this year, and you know the Bills are going to be damn good all year, just like you would know the Rams on the road probably be good all year. I think you want to look at a team that is sexy, that could be good all year, but in case they're not, you cross it off the checklist, and let's face it, it's the opening game in the NFL. People aren't going to not watch because it's the Saints and not the Bills. They're still, and the Saints are definitely interesting early in the year to see how they look without Breeze.
If the Bears were starting Justin Fields, if you could have that guarantee next week, I think that's the Sunday night. I think that's the Thursday night game, rather, to kick things off. They would love to get Chicago early. They would love to get Justin Fields' first start. They'd love to get that market and then not have to worry about whether the Bears are going to be good the rest of the season.
I totally see that, too. And remember, Bears-Bucks was a primetime game last year, as was Giants-Bucks as well. So I'm not so sure you want to go back and replay the same kind of out-of-division primetime games, and that may be why the Bears also would be discounted a little bit.
You get a huge market in Chicago, the third largest market in America, plus you have a fan base that touches a lot of different cities. So Bears games routinely do good TV numbers, but you just can't put Andy Dalton to the opening night kickoff. You can't do that to NFL fans. Wednesday night is the NFL schedule release, and we are already looking ahead to what that kickoff game might be. The Bucks open up the season that Thursday night. 855-212-4CBS, if you have a thought on this. 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, we've got Soundcheck, your best audio of the day. And in it, how about Nick Saban responding to Jimbo Fisher's proclamation that A&M is ready to go in and beat Alabama finally. That's part of Soundcheck next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Did you see me laughing right now on the simulcast at watchda.com? I'm looking at the rough draft. The first iteration of the Target Demo Friday meme pumped out by Cap, and it's a doozy. It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. It's so absurd. Oh, man. I can't wait to release the Kraken today. This one's so... Oh man, that's good. Target Demo Friday means when you see this ridiculous meme, let us know where you're listing and how you're listing and if you think Mother's Day sucks. Yesterday Mraz said he thinks Mother's Day sucks. And the best part of Mother's Day is the Monday morning after it's over. That will influence the meme today. Oh, man. You're going to like this one this morning. We start with sound check with James Harden as he's still sitting out games. We only have about 2 weeks to go before the start of the playoffs. Hey, James, you plan on coming back anytime soon?
Very, very, very confident. I guess the mark that I have to hit is the work that I did today. I have a couple of those without any feeling. And that's pretty much the mark, but I'm very confident that I'll be back for postseason.
Very confident I'll be back for the postseason. Well, time's running out on that. Last night, the Nets lose again, this time in Dallas, 113-109. Kyrie was splendid in the loss, 45 points, but too much Mavs, too much Luka. And the Nets right now are not going to be the number one seed in the standings in the East, and they're possibly not going to be the two seed either because the Bucks keep climbing on them and then took two earlier in the week from the Nets. So the Nets have to just try to stay out of that three seed right now, because if they're the three seed, they would take on the Celtics in the first round the way that it stands. And I wonder if that 3-6 matchup might be a little grueling for the Nets, even with them trying to get back all of their stars and play together. Who knows? What I would say is this, that obviously the Brooklyn Nets can be an incredible team, a dynamic team, if all three guys are healthy. But the if is a huge one. That's a capital I, capital F. They have not been all healthy for all of this season. So just assuming that the moment they all come back on the floor, they're going to stay healthy and stay on the floor for a rigorous two-month run through the playoffs is also, I think, a little presumptuous. I would also say that the way that the Nets lost those games to the Bucks this year and earlier this week would give me pause, because even with James Harden coming back, Giannis gobbled him up. Giannis has just torched the Nets this year. And so if that is a second round matchup between a two seed and a three seed in the Eastern Conference second round of the playoffs, what's the answer to Giannis? As I've talked about before, I mean, the Bucks will go as far as the supporting cast helps takes them, because Giannis is going to get his, but is Middleton and Bledsoe, or I should say Middleton and Holiday, going to be good enough to match up with other teams' big threes or big twos? The issue here, though, is that the Nets have to be healthy and they have to match up and somehow slow down the bigs in Philadelphia, Joel Embiid, and the bigs in Milwaukee with Giannis, and they don't have anybody to do that, even with their stars healthy. So it's going to be a difficult road to hoe for this Nets team, even if Harden comes back healthy. But that's right now a big if. Meantime, in Indianapolis, they are celebrating drafting Michigan defensive end Kwity Paye. Now, Colts.com did a video piece on how excited the Colts front office was when Kwity fell to them. They thought that the Giants were going to select Kwity with the number 11 pick. Remember that the Giants traded out of that number 11 pick with the Chicago Bears, and still, later on in the draft, still took a wide receiver. So apparently they were not in on Kwity Paye or defensive end. Here is the Colts Midwest scout, Chad Henry, with a very descriptive way of explaining how he felt on draft day.
I couldn't believe Kwity got to us.
I didn't think he'd be there at all.
He just kind of fell in our lap.
I thought the Giants were going to pick him right ahead of us, and I was literally almost thrown up in my mouth. I was like so wired up about it.
That's really gross. I don't know why you would say that.
We kept looking at each other and kind of saying, all right, well, something crazy needs to happen here, and there were a few crazy things that happened before us. Mike DeReese brought up his name, and I just looked over at him. I said, Mike, did you ever play baseball? When a pitcher's throwing a no-hitter, you don't talk to him. Like, you don't talk to him about the no-hitter. And, like, he brought up Kwity Paye's name. I'm just like, just shh, don't say it again.
The scout said he was going to throw up in his mouth with the Giants on the clock. It was Washington before the Giants at number 19, and Washington took Jamin Davis, linebacker, Kentucky. So they went defense there. But then the Giants at 20 could have taken defense as well. And many thought that maybe he's going to fall to the Giants at 20 and be selected by Dave Gettleman. Instead, the Giants went wide receiver Kadarius Toney out of Florida. And that left Kwity Paye to the Colts at number 21. And so, Mraz, you hope you aren't ruining the day that Gettleman passed it a guy that ends up being a Pro Bowl standout that the Colts were vomiting in their mouth, worried that the Giants were going to take one pick before.
I can't believe me and a Colts Midwest scout had something in common. I was throwing up in my mouth thinking the Giants were going to take Kwity Paye because he has no sack production whatsoever at Michigan. That's the last thing the Giants needed. But I'll tell you why he was throwing up in his mouth. Because he's the Midwest scout. If they don't take what he brings them as the crown jewel from Michigan, then the guy probably doesn't have a job the next day. So he wanted to make sure they used his scouting and selected somebody. Get lost. You don't talk about a no-hitter. It's not like, I mean, come on. It's not like Trevor Lawrence fell for the Colts. What are we talking about here?
All right, you better hope that Paye didn't turn into anything for the Colts because you're going to be eating those words.
Fine. Average defensive player can stop the run. He's fine.
How dare you, Colts fans? We are on in Indianapolis. If you are angered by Mraz's dismissiveness towards your first-round draft pick, I welcome those barbs today. Finally, earlier in the week, we heard Jimbo Fisher tell, I think, a booster group, if I'm not mistaken, that he was excited about playing Bama this year because they're finally going to beat him. Okay, so here is a reporter posing that to Nick Saban.
In golf?
I think you meant on the football field.
Well, I'm sure there'll come a day, you know. But is that what he's talking about?
That
football?
He was talking about football.
Oh, he was? Well, he used to be on my noontime basketball league, I guess. You know, we're no longer partners, yeah. You know, when it comes to that. Coach. Now, they have a really good team, really good program, and, you know, they're getting better and better all the time, and there's a lot of challenges in the SEC, and they're certainly one of the up-and-coming programs, and he's always been a great coach, did a great job for us when he was with us, and he's had a great career as a head coach. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge for us, no doubt, when we have to play him.
Oh, that's so good. Coach, did you hear that Jimbo Fisher said that they're ready to beat you? In golf? That's great. The last time that A&M beat Alabama, Johnny Manziel was on the field, November 2012. That's how long it has been since they were able to knock off Bama. Here's your scores. Last year, 52-24 Alabama. 2019, 47-28, 45-23, 27-19, 33-14, 41-23, 59-0. And 49-42 in 2013. It's been a long time, nearly a decade, since A&M beat Alabama. So if I'm Jimbo, I'm not going to make any proclamations these days or any guarantees because Nick Saban has owned you. He's owned mostly everybody in college football and probably sounding kind of stupid, saying, oh, yeah, this is our year. We're definitely going to do it. Yeah. Saban's like, what do you mean in golf? I guess that Saban probably heard this trash talk, heard this comment came across his desk, and he laughed at it. But in classic Saban fashion, acting as though it's so beneath him to even engage, I don't know what you mean. What did he say? In golf? That's great. And that is your sound check this morning. Standing by with our headline of this morning is a kind sir for the final time this week. Mr. Andrew Bogish is going to have our headline of this morning. So listen in at the 30s. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
DA, good morning. So on the other end of the QB spectrum from Aaron Rodgers on many fronts is Jared Goff. Today, though, we're talking about his happiness level. Goff thankful his new friends in Detroit for not drafting a QB last week.
It's a nice vote of confidence, obviously, for me. And I think what's not lost on me is that their first move as a staff with Brad and Dan was involved me. So it's exciting and it makes you feel good.
Justin Fields and Mac Jones were available when the Lions used.
Jared needs to walk that back a little bit. Is he saying that their first move was acquiring him at quarterback or the first move was not drafting his replacement immediately? I mean, Either one of them is a huge vote of confidence. The first part was they didn't want you. They wanted the draft picks for Matthew Stafford, okay? And the only way that could work was if you took on Goff's awful contract. So they didn't really acquire you. If you didn't have to come back in the deal, they would say, thankfully, no. And in terms of not drafting his replacement, I mean, is he saying, like, at least the first thing that they did wasn't try to find my replacement? That's not exactly a ringing endorsement.
Let the man be happy for a day, D.A. Don't be a Scrooge here. For whatever reason that he's happy, let him be happy, even if it's disconnected from reality.
I think the deal is that they've got to pay a huge portion of his salary still, and they're going, well, if we got to pay him this much money, let's at least see if he's serviceable. I think he's serviceable, by the way. I don't think that the Lions should be immediately running to draft quarterbacks because you got to pay him so much. But that's the huge part of this deal, is that the Lions are going to have to pay tons of money to Goff anyway. Why not? They're not a contender. Why not let him start for the time being to absorb? If you're going to spend the money, you might as well allow him to absorb the hits on that offensive line, and you're going to lose games anyway.
A hot take. Packers trade Rodgers. The Lions have the best quarterback situation in terms of making the playoffs in that division.
Ooh. More than the Vikings?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen Goff do it with the Rams and McVay. Absolutely. Kirk Cousins has been nothing but a fizzle out trying to get to the playoffs with the Vikings.
But they did make the playoffs, and they did win a game with Kirk Cousins.
Goff did make a Super Bowl.
He did, but who was more important to their success, Goff or Cousins?
When Goff stinks, it's because he has the inability. He actually doesn't have the ability to throw them out of games. He just can't throw them into them. Cousins has the ability to throw the Vikings out of games. I'm taking the Lions with Goff before I'm taking Cousins with the Vikings if Rodgers is out of there.
When Goff is Goff, okay? Goff gets the playoffs. When Goff
isn't, and we get
Goff
on Thanksgiving now, guaranteed. That's another good fallout of this.
That is true. We get Jared Goff on Thanksgiving. But we had Matthew Stafford on Thanksgiving, so that's a trade down, definitely.
Well, Sean mentioned Rodgers and his future. Former teammate John Kuhn, pretty confident things will work out in Green Bay, but Jordan Love's presence is a complication.
That's what makes me pull back a little bit. I still think it's somewhere around 70-75% that Aaron Rodgers is the starting quarterback for the Packers this
year. That's Kuhn from a great, wide-ranging interview with our good friend Zach Gelb. The Full Spot, which you should definitely check out, is at CBSSportsRadio.com.
That's a great interview by Gelb. It ends up getting national attention. You actually saw that on ESPN's front page yesterday and on the bottom line. So good job by Gelb booking Kuhn. Good interview as well. Good job getting a good soundbite out of him. That kind of was a huge story this week. So gave some pop to the network, gave some pop to the Zach Gelb show. Great job by him to do so. And I know that Zach books his own guests as well. So it's an impressive feat for Zach to book the guest, to get the attention, to get the interview, to get the headlines. I mean, Mraz, you got to give him a lot of credit there.
I do too. I think you're kind of raining on Ryan Hickey. I believe Ryan Hickey is the one that booked John Kuhn. I believe. I could be wrong. I do know that Gelb books a lot of them. Look, I mean, obviously that's, I tried telling you guys how great an interview this was. I really pushed it down. So it's a great job by Gelb. It's a great job for the network.
Interesting. I didn't see the topic list, but maybe I missed that last night. But it's a great spot. And we'll talk more about this a little bit later on in the morning, as John Kuhn says that Rodgers is conflicted. So we'll discuss that coming up later on in the program. Okay, what else, folks?
We've got the NBA now, a good one last night at the bottom of the Eastern Conference playoff picture.
The maestro, Russell Westbrook, goes to work. Beal right of the circle. Beal drives, right block, bank and score.
There you go.
Oh, I can feel it from Bradley Beal. 117, 115.
Dave Johnson, Wizards Radio. Beal scoring half of his 28 points in the fourth quarter and OT to beat the Raptors 131-129. Washington with the win remains 10th, a half game behind the Pacers, who down the Hawks 133-126. The Raptors almost done, four games behind the Wizards with five to go. The Clippers took care of the Lakers 118-94. LeBron and his ankle out, will not play tonight in Portland either. He is reportedly targeting next week for his next game. The Warriors dumped the Thunder 118-97 for a half game lead on the Grizzlies for eighth in the West. Memphis losing in Detroit 111-97. And the Nets lost in Dallas 113-109. That's a season-long four-game skid for Brooklyn. The Mavs, meanwhile, have have sole possession of the 5 seed this morning. Just 2 baseball games under the lights. The Marlins fought off the D-backs 3-1 for a 3-game sweep, and the Rays rallied past the Angels for an 8-3 win and a 5-game win streak. That happened shortly after Anaheim announced it was releasing Albert Pujols. He was slashing just 198, 250, 372 Ooh. Through 92 plate appearances. Pujols wants to keep playing. He'll be on the open market in 3 days after clearing waivers. The Rangers fined $250,000 for Tuesday's statement ripping the NHL for just fining Washington winger Tom Wilson. Commissioner Gary Bettman said they can't make things personal, which the Rangers did when they said George Parros was unfit to continue in charge of the Department of Player Safety. On ice last night, the Oilers took a 6-3 home loss from the Canucks, but Connor McDavid had 3 assists, giving him 96 points in just 52 games. DA, back to you.
So the Rangers were hot because the NHL fined Tom Wilson $5,000 because the Rangers complained about it. They got fined $250,000. Seems slightly slanted the wrong way. When we come back here on the DA show, ooh, look at that. We got more evidence never to draft a running back high. And we will detail what this hysterical Target Demo Friday meme will be from the evil clutches of our mad genius, Andrew Kaplan, next as well. Plus your phone calls, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's going to be a good day with DA.
I got the double whammy now because I got to worry about my wife being a mom. And I honestly, that sucks.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's a weekend to celebrate mom, although not in Mraz's eyes. He proclaimed yesterday that Mother's Day sucks and that he doesn't want to celebrate his mom or stepmom or his wife, the mother of his child and soon to be second child. And so today's poll question is, do you agree with Mraz that Mother's Day sucks? Because I certainly don't. I don't want that on record. I don't want that on my tombstone. Here lies DA, once hosted a nationally syndicated sports radio show and thought Mother's Day sucked.
I never said I didn't want to celebrate my mom. We need that on the record in case she's listening. I love my mom. I said it becomes stressful to celebrate all of them and thus it sucks. It doesn't mean they shouldn't be celebrated, but we do celebrate them every day. Enough with the bells.
We'll document that next hour.
Yeah, that's wiggling your way out of it, because yesterday you said that because your mom blamed a fart on the wedding dance floor on you and ripped up your art project, that she doesn't deserve Mother's Day.
All it meant was, shouldn't you be thanking your mom? And I said, haven't I thanked her enough because of those incidents? I've been scarred.
So how about this little stat? Since 1994, the win-loss record of starting quarterbacks in the first round is 513, so just slightly above 500. Quarterbacks drafted in the first round of the NFL since 1994 have won 2,700 games and lost 2,600 games and had 13 ties. So by virtue of this, they have a win percentage of 513, this little stat being dug up over the weekend. Okay, so that's kind of interesting, right? 513. What's interesting about this is that actually first rounders that include Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, Matt Ryan, Donovan McNabb, Alex Smith, Cam Newton should have a pretty good win-loss record. But there's a lot of busts in the first round as well, obviously. And so that brings down the win percentage of all of those guys that were far above 500 for their career starting. If you look at sixth round draft picks, sixth round NFL quarterbacks, there are fewer of them, but they actually have a better combined win-loss record. In fact, if you combine all of their wins and losses, their win percentage is 548. So first rounders, 513, sixth rounders, 548. Now, a huge portion of this is obviously Tom Brady. Brady is 230-69. So his win percentage helps float all of the rest of the guys. But I'm going to give you the other sixth-round starting quarterbacks in the NFL, the other successful one since 1994. Matt Hasselbeck, Mark Bulger, Derek Anderson, Tyrod Taylor, Jim Miller, Gardner Minshew. And because we're doing 94 or later, it does not include Steve Bono, Stan Humphries, and Jeff Blake. Humphries went to a Super Bowl, leading the Chargers there in 94. Steve Bono was the starting quarterback in Kansas City for a time, and Jeff Blake was a very good starting quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals of the 90s. What I'm telling you is, in the sixth round since 1994, even if you take out Tom Brady, you could have found Jeff Blake, Stan Humphries, Matt Hasselbeck, Mark Bulger, Tyrod Taylor, or Gardner Minshew. What does this tell me? It tells me that actually in the NFL, why would you ever draft a running back? Ever in the top two rounds? Because look at this. In the sixth round, you've got decent shots at getting pretty good quality. In the sixth round or the seventh round, we've had teams find pretty decent starting quarterbacks, but you shouldn't wait on that. You shouldn't hope for that. No. What it means is, what are the odds in 30 years that you find a starting quarterback that wins you games in the sixth round? It's like 3 in 30 years. It's like Brady, Hasselbeck, kind of Tyrod Taylor. Those are the guys that are above 500. Everybody else is actually sub 500 on the list that I mentioned, aside from the Jeff Blake, and I didn't check his win-loss because that was pre-94. If you're just taking since 94, since 1994, let's just say 25 years, the odds of you finding a starting quarterback that wins more games than he loses in the sixth round is Tom Brady, Matt Hasselbeck, or Tyrod Taylor. That's it. That's the list. In terms of finding a starting running back in the sixth round or seventh round that contributes to a winner, much higher. Much higher. So yesterday I did an entire soliloquy on how I believe the future of the NFL draft is never to draft a running back in the first two rounds ever again. I think sometime in the next 10 years, that'll become very apparent to everybody that the analytics will tell you that you simply cannot waste a draft pick in the first two rounds on a running back because you can find that guy. The odds are swing as many times as you need to the sixth and seventh round. You'll find a guy just as good as you would find in the first two rounds, but you can't do that at quarterback. Or you can say, well, you know what? Brady, Hasselbeck, Bulger, Tyrod Taylor, not so bad. There's talent even at quarterback in the sixth round. But instead of investing in QB there and hoping, let's invest in a running back there and knowing. Now, Andrew Kaplan has whipped up a meme for the ages because of Mraz's anti-Mother's Day stance. He has taken the 1990s movie The Good Son with Macaulay Culkin and put Mraz's face on that movie box with Macaulay's ridiculous shag haircut. He has also cropped in a frightening panda bear on top of a windmill in front of the West Babylon town sign. And I believe he's also adding a picture of Nancy Mraz to this Target Demo Friday. And the moment that I saw that, I just couldn't stop laughing. Wait until we release the Kraken on this coming up here next. You're going to absolutely love this. Ty Dunn on the Rogers situation next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.